one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh, what
do you think? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me on the show, we got Nikki Duce.
What's going on, a.k.a. Julius Randle for MVP? Let's go, baby!
FIFO 24-7.
What it do?
And Shelton J, who's going to pop up any second now until I switch the gallery.
What's happening, man? What's going on?
Chilling, bro. No, Scully today.
I was about to say, out of all the days, this is the coldest day in Georgia since 1928, and you wear the fitted.
Man, I switch it up sometimes, man. Sometimes. Today was the day.
So anyway, before we get started, make everybody like the channel, subscribe to the channel, and if you're watching us on Twitch, because we simulcast on Twitch, by the way, and if you are an Amazon Prime subscriber, you can subscribe to the Twitch channel at no cost. So become a subscriber to the Twitch channel. So anyway, let's go ahead and get started, man.
All right. First things first. Damn, I didn't want to sound like J. Cole, but first things first, RIP to Vincent Jackson. That was that was random at 38 too.
He
passed. They haven't got full details yet, but he died in a hotel room, I believe he was staying at.
You talking about the wide receiver? The
Chargers? Yes.
Yeah.
Who played for the Bucks for 5 years? Yeah, Vincent Jackson. He died.
Wow.
Yeah. It was his family didn't even know what was going on. They reported him missing, and then they found out what happened as far as his body. So
wow, that is nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy. Man.
It's crazy.
But yeah, shout out RIP to him and prayers and thoughts to his family.
We had some crazy times, man. It's just crazy right now. In general, you know what I'm saying? And that's all sports and everything.
Since we're gonna do some NBA conversations, and then we're also gonna do our top five.
Underrated
players currently in the NBA, not all time, but currently. But before we get to that, the All-Star Game is going to be held in Atlanta this year. Not to the wishes of the mayor of Atlanta, Keisha Lance Bottoms, because she is basically saying this is basically a television event. Fans should not come to the city to party.
She didn't have any say. She don't have any say so over that.
Nah, she says she's expressed her concerns to the NBA and to the Atlanta Hawks, but
but Atlanta is open for everything else. So,
man. I think she gets overruled a lot by the governor.
Oh yeah. So I got you. Yeah,
if the governor says it's cool, then shit, it don't matter what the mayor say.
Yeah.
But that's just me speculating. But yeah, so the All-Star Game will be happening in Atlanta. So COVID, I don't know how that's gonna work out, but we'll see. Hopefully that doesn't affect the NBA season.
Yeah, because it seemed like things are sort of starting to kind of stabilize themselves in terms of the infection rate, players testing positive. As we're seeing less and less reports, at least it feels that way. And then you have this. So you already know what's gonna happen.
Yeah. So let's talk about the proposed changes, obviously, to an expedited All-Star Weekend, because obviously, typically, it's a three-night affair where you get the celebrity game, then you get the Rising Stars game, then you get the skills, three-point and dunk contest, and then it concludes with the All-Star game. But this year, I don't know where they're going to put the skills challenge and the three-point contest and all of that, but I know that the dunk contest is going to be at halftime. How do y'all feel about that?
At halftime of the All-Star game?
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it, too.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I really like it. And I think that should be a format that they should keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
Well, that'll mess up the rest of the weekend then, right? Because the dunk contest is the highlight of Saturday night.
But you know what? But I think it's a co-star to the All-Star game. And I think if you combine those two, that makes that night the most powerful night. I think in the future, you know, obviously for obvious COVID reasons, they're bunching everything together. But in the future, I think that if you did the dunk contest and the All-Star game the same night, that's powerful, and just move all of those other events to its own separate night. So you can do the celebrity game and the skills challenge and the 3-point contest. And then the next night just have the Rising Stars challenge. And then you finish it with the dunk contest and the All-Star game. I don't know. To me, that feels more powerful.
I mean, I'm interested to see. I like experimentations. We saw experimentations with the bubble. We're seeing that throughout this season.
We saw it last All-Star game when they picked two captains and those players got to pick their team.
Yeah.
And then even the way that the All-Star game is played now, where, I forgot the rules. Wasn't it, first of all, you're playing for charity.
Yeah, you're playing for charity.
And
yeah.
then it's like who wins the quarter.
Yeah, it's a points race to the end or something like that. You win the quarter and they add it up. And then it's a number to get to the end. It's like
you're playing to a number. You're not playing for the time.
Right. That's like the what's that tournament called? It's the $1 million tournament. That's their rules. And that's where they got that from. And it works in that tournament too. So, and it was awesome for the All-Star game.
Amazing.
That was the best All-Star game since back in the day when Jordan and them was around.
Well, I think the best All-Star game since the Kobe LeBron All-Star game when they at the end of that game. But yeah, no, I definitely think that format works. So I like that the fact that the NBA is very flexible and willing to change certain things to, you know, accommodate the new fans and things of that nature. So I really like it. I really like it. I'm interested to see how it turns out.
Yeah, it's March 7th or the weekend of March 6th. Which we'll see how that goes for the city, but I'm interested to see how this All-Star game plays out, especially with like all the stars really not really fucking with having an All-Star game in general. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that plays out. On the other NBA news, Draymond Green was in the news. Mm. Being the Leroy in the room, wasn't he? This motherfucker was like, I got something to talk about. Literally, he said that.
We can't talk about this game right now.
So they say, if you can't do, you teach.
It's a distraction.
He was just being so disrespectful.
He went to a nigga that don't nobody talk about. He said, the treatment of the players in the league to watch Andre Drummond before the game, sit on the sidelines, and then go back and come out of street clothes because the team is going to trade him. That's bullshit.
You don't feel it's bullshit?
Two things can be right, Fivo.
Yeah. I'm just asking you.
You could be a bum in the league. You can make a good point. Ask Jared Dudley.
So wait, hold on. You saying Draymond's a bum in the league?
Bruh, Draymond putting up backup point guard numbers.
No. See, Nick. And I'm the numbers guy, right? I'm the numbers.
You know what his averages are right now?
I don't give a damn. And you know why I don't give a damn?
Apparently, he don't either.
Because numbers don't always impact winning or style of play.
The numbers man said numbers don't impact winning or the style of play. So that means moving forward, your number shit don't really mean much.
No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is numbers are important, but they're not important for all players. Because all players aren't going to be stat mavens. They're just not. Draymond's game. Look, and I was watching because of the Kelly Oubre slander that I was getting. And y'all see he don't raise that 3-point percentage up. Y'all see that he's actually scoring now. So I've been on the Golden State they resurgence. Don't forget, not the bandwagon, but the resurgence of what Golden State could be, right? The new version of what they are with James Wiseman. The Ubers of the world, the Wiggins, and with Steph back. So I've been watching them pretty closely. Well, I remember watching them, and I'm like, man, they're so Steph dependent. You know what I'm saying? Like Steph has the ball too much. Steph is trying to do too much. Even though he was putting up numbers and shit, and he still looked good doing it, the moment Draymond came back onto that squad, there was like a light switch that changed. And not saying that, oh my God, Draymond's putting up amazing numbers. But what Draymond impacts to that squad, he allows Steph to play off ball. Now there's somebody looking for Steph all the time with a high level of IQ. And because Draymond is a point forward, not only can he run a pick and roll with Steph, making Steph the pick man, but he can run those, I wanted to say RPOs. I'm fucking thinking about Madden. Those dribble handoffs, the DHOs. You know what I'm saying? With other players. So Draymond isn't, it's not a numbers thing with Draymond. He's literally the oil. He's not even a gear or anything, but he's the oil that makes that shit just run. James Wiseman gets at least 6 to 8 points a game because of Draymond. You know what I'm saying? And that's not even including the assists he gets from Steph. So Draymond is important to what they do, but the numbers will never show it.
So you're saying Draymond is the reason why they're the eighth seed in the West?
I'm saying Draymond is a big part of why they're the eighth seed in the West.
Okay.
That's crazy. He's the 10th leading scorer on that team.
He only played like half of the games that everybody else has played.
Do you know what his per is?
Just bro, his PR, bro. Look, watch the games. Watch the game. Y'all gonna make me have to go on my Twitch channel and watch a motherfucking game with y'all so I can break this shit down.
You got
so
a nephew, right?
Understand. Hey, follow me on Twitch.
You got a nephew, right, Vivo? His PR, is older, is younger than your nephew.
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say the same thing. People, I mean, I'm not saying Draymond is bad. I kind of am. But Draymond is contributing. He is. But he's not the Draymond of old.
Oh, no. I didn't say he's the Draymond of old. I didn't say he's amazing defensively. I didn't say –
So what are you saying?
Well, all of this is cute, but let's get to what he said.
Well, he's basically called out the NBA. He's basically saying – it's unfair to limit Andre Drummond's minutes as the organization transitions to Jared Allen. He's basically talking about how come every time when players come out and try to make things happen and control their destiny, their careers, they get vilified. But the organization does this shit all the time, tossing players around, trading players around without any explanation or rhyme or reason. And we just celebrate that as good business.
So he's saying that the NBA media that does the vilifying of NBA players don't do the same when it comes to
the owners or the team.
Huh. I mean, I think it depends on how they try to get out. And I don't know if he's talking about.
He brought up the point though, Ken. It shouldn't matter how I try to get out.
It does matter.
Yeah, it should.
That's business, bro.
If he's talking about James Harden. Yeah.
He brought up James Harden. But before James Harden shit went public and James Harden was aloof on the basketball court, James Harden was trying to facilitate that shit behind closed doors.
Yeah, but you don't have to act like a damn monkey when this shit don't go right.
You can't say that, Ken.
Oh, I'm sorry.
you got two more. All right.
Strike that one.
But Ken, so you telling me that if I'm trying to... Okay. Let's take it even further. Paul George, when he was in Indiana, 2 seasons prior to it becoming known to the public, he was already insinuating and asking for those trades.
Okay.
And look at how Indiana treated him.
Yes, it got to a boiling point, but I don't see any... There's nothing wrong with what they're doing with Andre Drummond. He's talking like they're doing something wrong.
Because it's not consistent.
All they did was say, we're going to sit the Negro until we can trade him.
So then how come Houston didn't take the same approach to James Harden? If James Harden comes to you and you're Daryl Morey, whoever the hell the GM is now, and says, you know what? I don't feel like I can win with this roster.
Because they're two different franchises and they don't have to handle their business the same way.
But none of them handled it the same way, though, Shelton. And that's the problem. When the franchise wants to trade you, they're going to sit you down. They're going to do whatever they want. And then they don't want you to say anything, right? Or else you're deemed unprofessional. But if I'm trying to handle it professionally as a player behind closed doors, but then nothing happens and you force my hand as a player to make it public. Prime example. And it didn't get public, but it was super messed up how they treated this guy. DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
That was
foul.
Super foul.
I thought they got vilified for that, though, didn't they?
Who?
I think the NBA media criticized them for telling him one thing and doing
another.
For
2 days, and that was a wrap.
But it happened.
But what's his name? Masai Ujiri was not vilified to the same extent that James Harden was.
Because he got a title. If James Harden won a title.
Got a championship.
But he didn't get a title before...
DeRozan.
Trading DeRozan.
No. He was Masai. The things about this was, first of all, Masai is a black GM. That's something. And the second thing was.
So you pacified him because he's a black GM?
No. Because you wanted to play it out. You didn't want to criticize. He got criticized for doing it But at the same time,
No.
We want to see that shit play out.
But the fact of the matter is not the fact that he did it. It's how he did it. It's how he did it. DeMar DeRozan has been the staple of that organization since Vince Carter.
He lied to him.
He lied to him.
Okay.
And that's a major problem.
And they got criticized for that, though.
For 2 days.
But the criticism happened. James, he's acting like this shit don't happen.
It doesn't happen often, Ken.
This is what he said about the James Harden situation. He said, because James Harden asked for a trade and essentially got dogged for it, no one's going to fight back that James Harden was dogging in his last days in Houston. But he was castrated for wanting to go to a different team. Everybody destroyed that man. And yet a team can come out and say, oh, we want to trade a guy. And then that guy has to go sit. And if he doesn't stay professional, then he's a cancer.
He's playing loose with the facts. He's playing loose with the facts. Now, I understand FIFO. He tried to handle it behind the scenes and then it got messy. But the fact of the matter is James Harden is responsible for the way that people talked about James Harden. The man out in the goddamn club and shit. The man giving half effort, you know, doing all his other stuff. It's like, of course they're going to criticize him because he's the one that we see in showing out. Right. What are people supposed to say? They don't see the organization or the business owners acting foolish.
So this is the issue. If James Harden, right, asked for a trade, as the GM, why didn't you take this road? You know what, James? We understand how you feel. Stay at home, continue to, you know, be ready, and we're going to trade you as soon as we can.
Because business don't work like that.
But business works that if I tell you I want to trade you, that you get to sit on the
Let me say this about that situation. In my opinion, A, they were hoping that they could talk him out of it. So you're not going to, if you're saying at first, because at first they were saying they weren't going to trade him. So in that case, similar to how Houston is treating Deshaun Watson, they wouldn't sit him because their plan was not to trade James Harden. Also, because you know you're going to trade, even when you decide to trade him, you sit him down, that lowers your offers you're going to get because they know you're trying to get rid of him at this point. So they're going to sit back. So you let that man play it out and you take the best offer and you get him out of there. That's what you do. And that's what they did.
Nah. So this is where I disagree with you, Shelton. I think with superstar NBA players that want out, they're not devaluing themselves by sitting. They're not devaluing themselves by sitting. We know what AD was. If he would have sat that whole year, we know what AD was and everybody would have
gave. But did he get criticized?
AD?
Yeah.
Yes. He got fined by the Pelicans for $100,000.
Fine. Did he get criticized?
Yes.
By who?
By the media.
He did get criticized.
For wanting out of
yes.
He got criticized towards the end because of the way he did it.
I don't remember that.
But FIFO, I'm not saying they're losing their value as far as them as a player. I'm saying they're losing their trade value for the team because they know you plan to trade them. So why would I give you more knowing that you're going to get rid of them anyway? There's no reason for me to up my ante if I know you're going to get rid of them.
But with a James Harden situation with 3 years left on his contract, this is James Harden. We know what the product is. You're going to have to come off of some things to make it work.
And that's why my two things were, for one, the difference between James Harden's situation and Andre Drummond is that James Harden sells tickets, bro. He is the face of the franchise. You're not letting that shit walk out the door because you don't have shit else coming in. And number two, like you said, he had 3 years left on his deal. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to do anything.
And number three, nobody paying tickets to go see Andre Drummond grab it.
100%. But let me ask you this. If your star player says, I refuse to continue to play for your franchise, as an owner or GM, the only option you have is to trade that player. That's the only option. There's no salvaging it, right? And the reason why, in terms of context, right? Let's look at the tumultuousness of the Houston Rockets in the playoffs, right? James Harden is now labeled not clutch. He shrinks. They have not had tremendous playoff success because they've had playoff success. They made it to the Western Conference. They made it past the first round multiple times under James Harden's watch, but they never got to the big dance, right? So there's a lot that comes with that. And almost every other year, they've tweaked the roster in a major way and it has not worked. James Harden is done with it. Also, I don't know, did y'all listen to the interview he had where he was talking about how stressful it was to have to score 40 to even be competitive?
Bro, this is you need a violin for this damn soliloquy you're trying to say, bro. I don't give a damn about, bro. What
you falling for that shit?
Because now he's like, since we've been playing Madden, I've been on the GM side. Man, this you just described the ideal situation any superstar want to be in, where your franchise is doing whatever it can, whatever it takes to build a roster around you for 5 consecutive years. You just said it yourself. No other franchise in that 5-year span has retooled their roster around any superstar like the Rockets did. Hold on.
Okay.
And because of that, at the end of the day, because he didn't win, mm-hmm. that he didn't make those shots, he's mm-hmm. now saying, I'm tired of y'all. Now I'm going to be eaten and get built like Dr. Eggman, and I'm not going to play any games and shit and talk shit about the new teammates that are still valuable and can compete.
But you know what? If you would have just been professional and handled my trade request behind closed doors, I wouldn't have done none of that.
Well, one, it wouldn't have been handled behind closed doors. Two, and I didn't see him complaining when he said he should have been the MVP when he lost the MVP that year.
And also,
I didn't see him complaining when he won the MVP either.
If you want to control your destiny, LeBron James has showed you the blueprint. You signed 2-year deals with one opt out after that first one.
But you know what?
Okay. Don't sign for all that money and that long-term deal if you really not trying to be there for a while.
No, 100% on the contract thing, right? I get you, right? LeBron has set the blueprint for that. However, everybody's not LeBron in terms of the indestructibility that LeBron has had throughout his career, right? So LeBron can take that risk for him. When KD did it, what happened? The man tore a whole Achilles. But he's KD, which is why he still got the bread. He's KD. Outside of those two, any major injury to any other superstar, not named those two guys, is going to devalue your marketplace.
What about Russell Westbrook? Did he not get another deal after he had his injuries?
But he didn't have a major injury. It was all meniscus type stuff. That's not a major injury.
Either way. What's his name again?
Okay, so wait, Draymond, let me give you somebody else. Let me give y'all another example. Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler got killed in the media.
For what?
Killed.
From Minnesota?
From Minnesota and from Philly.
Yeah, he did.
Killed in the media.
Yeah, he got killed for Philly.
But he got more killed for Minnesota than he got
Well,
for
he was
Philly.
Doing some crazy shit in Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Whoa. See what them bums look like now? You saying that he was wrong?
But Minnesota
Jimmy was not wrong in 2 different places in the same
about
year.
Tactics, FIFO. Yeah, how you handle FIFO. Your business? What you say? What you got, Shelton?
Marty McFly in the chat. What's up, Marty? I said this earlier. I was going to say something for Marty. He said it's simply easier to criticize the stars because they're the ones people care about. You know, they're the ones in the forefront, and nobody's clicking on stories about a GM or owner. I agree with that as well. That's really your biggest thing about it. These are the faces, the franchises. So when they want to move and they're doing it publicly, they're going to be scrutinized heavier. They're going to be criticized more. Behind the scenes in business and how it's done, that's regular. That's normal life. So I don't think that I think that it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And for me, that's how I look at it. I look at it like if you know, you work a job, right? If they decide to fire you tomorrow, especially in a state like Georgia's right to work state, they can do it. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no it ain't nothing else to be said about that. These guys have jobs. So I just can't get with it on the level that he's talking about. Yeah, you got to sit down, but you're getting paid to sit down. So to me, I don't really
but I don't think
that's, I got a theory about that.
I don't think it has anything to do with the money aspect. I think it all has to do with streamlining how we interpret and process trade requests. Right? Because if the organization wants to initiate a trade, we want you to not to diminish your value. We don't want you to get hurt. We don't want anything to happen. You could either go home or sit on the bench. Personally, I think they should all go home. If you're no longer part of our future, go home. We'll find you a destination.
That's a slippery slope.
Why is that a slippery slope?
Because if motherfuckers just not happy, they just gonna be like, fuck it. I want
but
out.
But not everybody has the type of power to push an organization.
But we don't give a fuck about the motherfuckers. We talking about the stars. Of course, some random bench player did this shit. He's cut. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about the stars, and for me, it's just more about if you're signing a big long-term deal, you also have to have that wherewithal and not be naive and be like, all right, if I'm going to ask for a trade, let's say a five-year deal, if I'm going to ask for a trade in the second year, it most likely probably ain't going to happen unless shit just aligns together.
Okay, so you know what I'm saying? Let's drink a little bit, Nick, because you
like how that. Much drinking we got to do, because we got some more topics to hit.
We do, but this striking a nerve with y'all motherfuckers on this damn stage, because y'all look.
Shelton, too?
Look, your 50-win Washington Wizards, right?
Pending.
Yo, he meant the next 2 years, people.
Huh?
He meant the next 2 years.
Oh, and the next maybe three. Maybe it may take them three to win 50 games.
There's a surge coming. Basketball is a game of runs, right?
That's a hell of a run. But look, Bradley Beal does not have to say anything about being traded. That man's body language and facial expressions every time he hits that bench says it all for me. If he came to management behind closed doors and we haven't heard anything and says, please trade me. Maybe they still want him to play, but we haven't heard anything. Let's just say right around the All-Star break, he gets traded. Isn't that the professional way to handle it? Is no media, me, the GM and owner, and the star player that's unhappy. The only reason why we even sell merch or people even tune in to watch us is because of this guy. If this guy says he's unhappy, he does not want to play. As a business owner, you got to cut that tie, because if you keep that tie, it's going to hurt your bottom line.
I just feel like that's a very simplistic way of looking at it, how it play out.
It is, and it's not realistic. When you look at most franchises, if you look at the Hawks, for example, being here, when they advertise and show their tickets and stuff, they have certain faces on that
100.
Like what they used to anyway. 100. Well, they got Trae Young. They're not going to get rid of Trae because he says he wants to go, right? They're just not going to do it. Otherwise, nobody's coming to the game. They're going to lose money on the bottom line. They're going to lose jersey sales. They're going to lose everything else. You're not letting these big names go just because they say they want to go. It's just not going to work that way if you're under contract.
But Shelton, but context, right? Trae Young is still on a rookie deal. He hasn't even really truly established himself in the league yet. He's not truly like a superstar. He's borderline all-star. He made one all-star team in the first 2 or 3 years in his career. He's on the trajectory. But once, to Nick's point, once you re-sign that deal, right? Like once you decide to commit to an organization a couple of years in, and the prime example is Deshaun Watson. Deshaun just signed last year, and this is football. And they're going to have to trade him, because at the end of the day, every player, every star player, let me clarify. Every star player is the one with leverage. They're the ones with the leverage. If Deshaun says, I will never, and he hasn't publicly said it, but we can feel it. If he comes out and says, I will never play another snap for the Houston Texans, what are they going to do? They have to trade him. The Texans don't have the leverage. The contract is not the leverage. The money's not the leverage.
I agree. Go ahead, Sheldon.
No, I was just going to say, I see what you're saying, and I wish it was that way, because I'm on the player's side. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think if I'm a business owner, I'm going to listen to players telling me that they got to go, because like you said, these are stars.
But who's winning? If you look at all of these situations, the players always win, because the players are the commodity, not the franchise.
So something's got to give, and something's going to give. I believe they're going to figure out a way in this next CBA to stop that from happening, because they don't want that to happen. They don't want to lose control.
100%, Shelton. But you know what? Everything that they've done, when you look at all of the contracts, how the verbiage and the language and how they sign deals, being able to go over your salary, and I'm talking basketball, being able to go over your salary cap to maintain players, bird rights, rookie deals, a supermax, roles extension. All of these things are to keep the players that you draft onto your team. But at the end of the day, if that star player is not happy, regardless of how many years of money he has on that contract, he is the commodity. If he says, I'm not playing and I'm willing to sit out, what are you going to do?
I'll say this. I think that I think that FIFA, what you're saying is essentially how good business should be done. But that, the reason I think me and Sean are agreeing on is that that's just not how shit gets done in reality of shit. There's always complexities. There's always context. But I will say this, going back to Draymond Green before we move on to our next topic. I feel like it's very... Ken, you brought up the point, like, why is he saying this about Andre Drummond, about people? I think Draymond is getting ahead of his own narrative, because I feel like Golden State is getting ready to trade his ass, and he's like, look, I spent some blood, sweat, and tears for this franchise, and y'all motherfuckers throw me out like trash. Like,
we got Oop right now.
Yeah. All right, see what I mean?
Oubre took his
spot. Oubre took his
spot. Hey, let me ask you.
Oubre called him an Uber. All right. He ready to get his ass out of
course. Hold on. I think Nick owned something.
I'm just saying, he getting ready. He getting ahead of his own. He talking about somebody else that he really don't give a fuck about.
Yep.
But he's basically saying this.
I'm going to have to do this show for him, bro. I can't come in person before y'all over crazy.
Because it's weird when a nigga who's on his last day trying to lean on something.
You gotta have to get him a cane. But just like Tigolo and Dragon Knight 49 pointed out, they did kill Ainge for trading IT.
That was a lot of fouls.
Hey, but listen, let me ask y'all something though. Is the argument really with the owners that's having a problem, or is it the media? When the players act out, is it the owners that's tripping, or is it the media that Draymond should have the issue with? Because ain't nobody listening to what no owner's saying. Ain't no owners really coming out saying, say it again.
The owners.
Keep going.
No. You know how the owners talk?
Through the media.
Through Adrian Wojnarowski, through Zach Lowe, through all of the people that report. Oh, this person, XYZ. Where the hell that come from? Where that come from? Come on.
It all comes down from the top. What's going on, B?
What up, man?
Like you got some smooth lotion on, brother.
Who, me?
Yeah, you look all moisturized and stuff.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Hey, look, man, I keep my skin right. You know what I'm saying? I got to stay looking good when I'm on camera.
Hey, B right? said Valentine's Day may be a day for y'all, but it's a lifestyle for me, boy.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I gotta keep the young man special going on. You know what I'm saying? This is not no special occasion. This is a lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
B, I wanted to get your thoughts on AD's recent injury and what the Lakers should do moving forward with that situation.
First, and before you go, B, first of all, y'all funny as hell in the chat with this Ken's iPad and FIFA.
Oh, Ken's iPad.
Bruh, y'all on some y'all wilding. Go ahead, B.
Yo, we was wilding in that thing, man. AD's injury, yeah. I said it in the chat, in our group thread. I think AD should pretty much be out for at least 8 weeks, 2 months. Because when you're dealing with, they say with a calf, but I think it's something more serious than what they saying. But if anything, even let AD be out for the remainder of the season. I don't know, man. We've always had our trust issues when it came to AD health-wise. Because, you know, we was worried even last year, like, is he going to hold up throughout the whole playoffs? But he got through. But, I just think he just needs to just sit it out. I don't know. I don't think they should trade. You think y'all should trade him? Did y'all spoke?
No, hell no.
That was another topic.
Okay. But no, I just think I think the Lakers should just let him sit as long as he needs to sit. If it means until playoff start, let him come when playoff start. Because I think with the way they've been playing now and the way that team is constructed, I think they can survive. They can still remain in that 1, 2, or 3 seed in the West for the remainder, even without AD. The way LeBron playing, yeah, I think they can definitely stay afloat in the West and at least be guaranteed a home court advantage in the first round. So, yeah, man, they good without AD right now.
I agree with you, B. I think that him playing, you know, I keep thinking about KD and I see that in my head when I saw the calf thing, because all I can remember is seeing that leg pop. You know that.
Yep.
Tendon pop, and that just was a scary thing.
Don't play with that, man.
And you just saw what Rush. I don't even know whose idea it was to bring him back so soon this last time, because I thought he was going to be out a little longer than he was this last time. And it's time to sit him down and just get it here, because they're going to need him. They're going to need him for a playoff run. I mean, it'd be nice to stay in, you know, stay close to the top in the West, but that's not as important as, you know, his health. Because if he goes down, you ain't got no shot, no way. So you might as well get him. And I saw, yeah, I was looking,
yeah,
at it earlier.
Yeah.
You know, and if you meet the Clippers, it's like playing a home game anyway. Mm-hmm. And with there being no fans in the stands, you know, that the home court advantage is important, but it's not that important at all. So get the man healthy and get him back.
Yeah, that's all. Just get him healthy. Like I said, if it means sit out for the remainder of regular season, because you need AD. If AD is not in there for the playoffs, I don't see Lakers repeating.
But here's the thing, too, B. Like, I don't think he can have too much of a layoff because you know how basketball is about rhythm. If he comes back right before the playoffs, that
first round, that's a gimme. Yeah, he can get a rhythm in the first round.
Yeah, I think he needs to come a week or two before the playoffs.
Okay, right, that's still like right, that's yeah, okay, that's still address the season though. You know what I'm saying? That's
8 weeks.
But I'm just saying he needs to play part of the.
I get end you.
Of
the season. Yeah, I see what you. Yeah, I see what you're saying, people. Yeah,
but here's my question: if it's weak, like, will that be enough time? These 2 to 3 weeks, give it enough time, or however long, even if it's 8, for it to strengthen up this Achilles.
Eight weeks. I think it's more inflammation than it is anything else. Okay. So I think that once the inflammation goes down, the threat of injury is nowhere near as severe. So that's really the big thing, is it's inflamed at the moment. So it's going to take about 2 to 4 weeks for the inflammation to heal. The other 4 weeks just to make sure. That's just putting some icing on the cake. But 2 to 4 weeks is what it's going to take for the inflammation to come out of the area.
Yeah, he just not used to playing as long as he did last time. And normally he wasn't even making the playoffs. Well,
with the Lakers not having much rest, I can see that not helping out either.
Worn him out.
Right.
But he wasn't playing, he wasn't doing much of shit anyway this season.
I know.
He wasn't, people. I watched the games. He was half-assing it, bro.
He was. And everybody, y'all right. It's time for Kuzma to step up. It's time to really see.
That's what I said.
Whether Kuzma can fulfill his promise and do what he was doing. If he can do what he was doing before, they'll at least be okay.
That boy been balling. You ain't seen that boy?
He been nice.
Yeah, he should be nice all the time. That's what I'm saying. He was nice. What happened?
He got the minutes. You'll see. Wow. Watch. Every time.
Right.
Every time he scores, shout.
he can hear me talking about him.
Shout.
Well, it's in the fourth quarter now tonight, and he only got 5 points. So come on, Kuz. Where you at?
He be counting his. Come
I
on.
Know, man.
I knew. I knew because, like I said, I was a. See, y'all misinterpret me. I was a Kuzma fan. So
don't sound
to
like
watch it. His regression is painful.
Regression?
Yes.
The way he be getting those offensive rebounds. He had a block that was called a foul the other night.
Man, y'all talking like you talking about a rookie player that's just coming into the league that do the little things. Oh, he does the little things that are special. Or you talking about a veteran that's hanging on. You're talking about a guy in his prime that's supposed to be scoring 20 points a game. I don't care what team he's on.
Prime.
We haven't really seen the peak of Kuzma just yet. Maybe we'll see that moving forward with AD being out. But nah, I think the best is yet to come.
I think so too. I think so too. With another team.
I think that is Kuzma's best opportunity. It's to go to another team that views him as a top three guy on that roster, because he's not going to be that for the Lakers.
Mm-mm.
Now, yeah.
But Shelton wants him to be.
Let me ask y'all before we go to, did you think he was, do you think he ever was a top three option for this team?
Yes.
But with the Lonzo version of the Lakers, not with the AD version of the Lakers, no.
Because he was better than Lonzo.
But with the AD version, did you not think that they were slotting him in to be the third person on that team? With no. LeBron and AD?
No, and I always said it. His skill set doesn't fit with LeBron and AD. That was always the problem. He he's shown it in spurts this season, because I'm with Ken still. I think that this is the best season that he's played with LeBron and AD. But he still needs to become a more consistent knockdown shooter, because when you play with LeBron needs shooters, first and foremost, and guys that play defense. Kuzma's decent on the defensive side, but he needs to be more of a knockdown shooter. Look at what happened to Chris Bosh. Mm-hmm. Like, he had to become a three-point corner specialist to be on the court with LeBron.
People thought Chris Bosh couldn't play anymore when he went to
It's just Miami. He was the one that had to adjust the most.
They thought Chris Bosh was done.
And he wasn't.
Who was the third best player on that team last year? Because I can't even remember. Was it Danny Green?
It was Rondo.
I think it was Rondo in the playoffs.
Yeah, Rondo in the playoffs.
Danny Green.
That's... Yeah,
you sound like his wife. What?
Oh man!
Or KCP. KCP at moments. I think it varied. Go ahead.
Yeah, you be on PCP if you think that. So let's get on to our. Before we get on to our top five underrated NBA players in the current league right now, let me give y'all my top five overrated since y'all did that. You know what I mean?
You want me?
Nah. I'm gonna get my list. I'm gonna be real quick.
Dialogue.
Trying to not get your list.
I got Andre Drummond, Tobias Harris, Draymond Green, DeMar DeRozan, and Kevin Love. In no particular order. Those are just the five in the batch.
I have like two or three of your same guys.
Yeah. Tobias Harris, huh?
Yeah. Hey, we keep going. Anybody think about that? Go on to the next. What'd you say, Nick?
I was gonna say an honorable mention would be Zion Williamson, but let's move on to the top five underrated.
Who was it? You that has Zion?
I have Zion
on there.
Somebody has Zion. BD, yeah. And I agree with BD.
Yeah, I had Zion, and it's overrated. Yeah,
I'm saying number 14 in the West. Yeah, they got all that talent.
That's Van Gundy.
You know who we left off that's overrated? That I wouldn't even think about is DeMarcus Cousins overrated to y'all?
He's been injured.
Nah, cousin is,
yeah.
Because he's hurt?
No. Nah. Nobody even... the only time I've heard DeMarcus Cousins' name this season was just now.
Okay.
Nobody talking about him like that. He's had a couple of good games, but that's it.
We'll be back after this quick break.
All right. Let's get to the top five underrated players in the NBA. Who want to start off? Shit, I'll do it then.
Go ahead.
Is it Javante? Javante Murray?
Don't do it. Come on, man.
Javante Murray.
DeJounte Murray?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Underrated. My bad.
Yeah, we're talking about underrated. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's my boy. That's my guy. I like him.
Jalen Brown.
No, we're going to do one. We're going to go around.
Yeah, he wasn't here. Yeah, we go one at a time.
One and we're going to go around.
Oh, okay. My bad. All right.
So, Kay, who you got?
Oh, bad. All right, Sheldon, who you got?
No. We can't mess up the rotation, man. You know how it is.
Let me see here. I got Zach LaVine.
I had Zach LaVine too.
That's what's up. So I guess B, go next. Who you have?
Yeah, I'm looking at my list now. Yeah, Zach LaVine was actually my number
one. He has one? Okay. So yeah. Zach LaVine's on your list. Zach LaVine is also on my list as well.
Yeah, so all of us say Zach.
So four.
All mine's are actually guards. All mine.
Okay. Wait.
I'm not about to go. I'm just saying all mine's are guards.
I had Jalen Brown.
Jalen Brown. Underrated. Mm. Underrated?
Underrated.
Yeah.
He's not underrated.
No, he's not underrated because he's
we're gonna get to it. That's kind of how we did it though.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we kind of, if we had a thing to say, we adjusted at the moment. The reason why I'm not saying he's underrated is because he's getting all of the just do for his play this season.
Which is why I think he's overrated.
And I don't think he's overrated. I think he is accurately rated this season.
I don't think people look at him as a top five shooting guard.
Is he?
I would say so this year.
He's borderline.
I'll say he's top five.
You put him on the list?
No, the numbers look good. So I wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Off the top, you wanted to fight it.
I did.
Which means why he's underrated. Because you can't name me five better shooting guards to do what he do.
No, I'm just I asked Izzy because who the hell is putting him on his top five, which is why I say he's overrated. Because I don't think he's top five.
But, all right. So who you got?
And we're gonna have to do that next. I got
Bam Bam.
Underrated? Adebayo?
Why is he underrated to you?
I don't think people appreciate what Bam does on the court. I really do. I think what he does often goes unnoticed, especially by a lot of casuals. But yeah, I think he's underrated, man.
What about you, Shelton?
My first one I got is Christian Wood. I think Christian Wood is having a really nice season. He's putting up 22-10 a game, and he's solid on a team that's surprisingly much better than we expected them to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I like Christian.
Wood. Where was he at before he got to Houston?
Don't salt in the wound, Ken. Don't do it. BZ, who you got?
I got Shaji Alexander from OKC.
Bet. Yeah, because OKC's a lot better than I thought they would be with losing CP. And, you know, they've been dealing with injuries and stuff, too. And they still right there.
He's flying under the radar.
Yep. So my second guy is another guy that Shelton had on the list as well. I had Christian Wood as well for all the same reasons. Double-double guy on a team that nobody expected to be as good as they are. So, yeah. All right, who you got, Nick?
OG Anunoby.
What?
OG Anunoby.
Underrated.
Underrated.
That dude,
he shouldn't be rated.
Exactly.
he shouldn't be rated.
Yeah, man. OG.
That's hilarious.
Wow. Jamal Murray, man. I think Jamal Murray is underrated. I felt that way. And a lot of people gave me a lot of flack. And then we saw what happened in the playoffs. And they're doing the same thing again. He's got off to a slow start. And consistency has kind of been his thing this year. But I think people don't appreciate what this brother can do. This brother is a prime time, in the moment player.
He is. He proved that. Shelton, who you got?
My number one, I'm going to just put him out there just in case y'all try to pick him. Malcolm Brogdon.
Nobody picking Malcolm.
Ain't nobody
Brogdon,
picking him.
Malcolm Brogdon.
He's on my list too.
He's been very solid underrated this year, and you can't knock the man. He's putting up numbers in every category, and he's playing good defense like he always does. He's just been playing a good game.
50-49.
He's been very consistent this year.
Yeah.
He's fine under the radar. He's fine under the radar.
So he was on B's list too.
Hold on, I'm gonna come back, FIFO. I just want to tell the people in the chat, I'm taking down, I got your super chats, y'all can keep them coming, please. We'll get to those in after this. Go ahead, FIFO. I'm sorry.
No problem. I'm gonna go Dame Lillard.
So do I.
I had Dame
underrated.
Underrated. Yes. You know why?
Yes.
Underrated.
Yes,
has not been invited to a USA basketball team. Has been skipped over multiple times
for
All-Star nominations. And how many times has he gotten even a third place vote for MVP?
And I'll give you one more. Shelton Pitt Luka over Dame.
That right there, that's just bad management.
I don't know,
what did you just say? Because it froze when you were talking just now.
The reason why I question it, because it goes to my point of what I was saying about Steph Curry just last year. People were all saying Dame Lillard was the best point guard in the league. And remember what I was saying before the season start, Steph is going to come back and remind folks. But I think up to last season, people wasn't underrating Dame Lillard. You know what I'm saying?
I'm looking at his career. I'm not just looking at like the season. Like people, even now, right? Like Steph is getting more headlines than Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't looking at career. I was just looking just like as of now, currently, this season. Yeah.
Even now,
like Dame doesn't get the just due, and I'm not saying he don't get no due. It's not like don't nobody talk about him.
He doesn't talk about enough. People was cheerleading this guy last year, man.
They were prisoners of the moment, B, and I don't disagree, but they were prisoners of the moment, bro.
They're
not talking about him anymore, are they? They don't talk about him when he hit a winning shot.
And then the other thing too, the reason why I named them underrated, when we think about deep three-pointers, right? Mm-hmm. We think Steph Curry, and rightfully so. Steph Curry is the best natural God-given shooter. Obviously, he worked on his craft, but you could tell that was just instilled because his last name's Curry. Dame shoots from 30 and beyond at a higher percentage than anybody ever. Not just Steph Curry, ever.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We give him the due, and he gets the respect. He's finally getting the respect, but we don't talk about him the way he needs to be talked about.
B, we've been pushing Dame For how many years on this program, bro?
Yeah.
That's I've been pushing Dame since he was in college. I already knew.
I don't think it's there yet.
I mean, he's a superstar in this league, though.
You that can don't be a superstar underrated.
That's Carmelo.
Oh Lord!
Hey, you know if I'm gonna mention Melo, I gotta mention a fellow New Yorker right now too.
Well, there's only one Melo in the league that matters now.
Chill out, bro. Don't make me move furniture on the show.
Hold on.
There's only one Melo that butts in the seats. There's only one Melo that people paying to go watch now. There's only one Melo people paying.
First of all, it's the same attendance in Oregon as it is in North Carolina, Charlotte. Ain't nobody paying more to see that nigga.
No, it's not. Hey, look, I was gonna say Carmelo is having a couple good games though lately.
It ain't just a couple, so don't be humbling my nigga stats.
Five in a row. He's had five.
I'm going with underrated. Should be number one, Julius Randle.
Julius Randle. I knew you was gonna have. I had him too, Nick.
It gotta be. Since coming into the league, if you want to talk about careers, been one of the most underrated young talent. It's funny looking at all the young players they gave up outside of Lonzo, the Lakers. You look at Brandon Ingram. Well, he got most improved player of the year. Julius Randle may even be a top 3, top 4 MVP candidate, arguably.
No.
Hey, Nick, you know what? To agree with you on part of that, he's always been a nice player. This year, he finally put it together, though. To where it translates to wins and differences in games. All before, he was kind of like an empty stat guy. He could get some buckets and he can get a few rebounds, but this year he's kind of like the captain of this ship and it's showing. But he ain't done this before this year,
He said in a post.
Wait a minute, but what's the Knicks record though? Like, are they above 500 or below 500?
They're below 500, I think. But
that's not a winning team if you're below 500.
They're better than expected. They're
a sixth seed. They below 500.
I mean, that's typical in the East, though. You can still be 6 games under 500 and still make the playoffs.
But see and that's true. But for the Knicks, they're further along than we thought they would be, including Nick. So he's made a difference on this.
It's number orange and blue skies. That's all I see.
Yo, so Ken, since Dame was on your list, Shelton, who's your next person?
Hold on 1 second. Let me look.
You'll have it ready if you had the Scully on.
Yeah, I know. I'd have already been ready. Jordan Clarkson. I think Jordan Clarkson is playing ball this year. I mean,
Jordan Clarkson.
Yes. Jordan Clarkson has been a microwave for that team. He's the second leading scorer on the team with the best record in the league. And he's burning it up off the bench. He's going to be the sixth man of the year this year. And he's instant offense. He's Vinny Johnson for the Pistons back in the day.
You hype, bro. You just throwing names out there. Because
he put up 40 on his damn sister the other day.
Yeah, he did. Hey, man. Hey, have you been watching this kid, though?
He's always been able to kind of do that. But I don't know if, like, he's half the talent, but underrated? I think that's a different category, bro.
He's going to be the sixth man of the year.
Overachiever. We should. That's what we should have.
Yeah, he is an overachiever.
Top five overachievers in the NBA today.
Hey, listen, he's been doing it all year. It'd be overachiever if he was just barely doing it, or if he did it like the last 5 games, like Carmelo. He's been doing it since.
No. An overachiever can have multiple years. Keith Van Horn was an overachiever.
Right.
Can't cut his mic off. Cut his mic off. I'm tired of hearing.
He's underrated. The man just scored 40.
All right, BZ. Who you got next on your list?
I got Darian Fox. Darian Fox is another player. I feel like he's kind of flying away. Even though Sacramento is not winning, but they're right there in that, you know, that lower tier playoff team in the West. But I've always liked his game too, man. Darian Fox, he's definitely improved as a passer. I feel like his court vision has gotten better since he became a pro, opposed to him being a score first type of point guard in college. But yeah, I like Darian Fox. So that's another one I feel like that's kind of flying under the radar. That's underrated.
And BZ, you know, I think part of Darian Fox maturation this season is the fact that the Pistons messed up and didn't get the right person, but that's neither here nor there. Mm-hmm. But Tyrese Halliburton is really allowing Darian to transition to that two guard to play off the ball and just be in attack mode 100% of the time. Yeah. So Yeah, no, I definitely agree. De'Arian did take a step forward. Mm-hmm. My next guy is Seth Curry.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good
Seth Curry. It seems like every year he gets better. And it seems like he's just now scratching the surface of comfortability. Because we look, he's never going to be a superstar. He's never going to be his brother. But he's the championship role player. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that the NBA and NBA circles, they call a gravity guy. You can't leave him. Like, it doesn't matter what anybody... I know this shit sounds crazy. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing in terms of penetrating the ball, shooting. If he's on the court, you got to guard him. And I think that he is a major reason as to why the Sixers are balling how they're balling, because it allows that space that Ben Simmons doesn't give you. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, but now you have the space to allow Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to do what they does. So Seth Curry's on my list.
So me with the last one.
Yep, yep, yep.
I'm going to Atlanta's very own John Collins.
I honestly think
they should be doing more with him in this offense, yep, and allow him to be a little bit more free on defense. Just to be, I feel like he's a gem that they're not really utilizing just yet, right? And I think the Trae Young, the whole show with that, I think that's kind of shadowing his impact on that team.
Trae Young is a problem on that team. But that's all the conversation.
Who's your last one?
I'm going to go with CP3, man.
Underrated?
Yes.
Nah, he gets a lot of props for it.
Nah, man. I don't think people really appreciate and respect what this man has done in OKC and what this man is doing now in Phoenix. Phoenix, a team that has historically been bad for the last couple of years, and they made one change, and it's CP3, and they barely even talking about him. I don't think people appreciate like his ability to win. When they talk about CP3, they talk about, oh, he's never been out whatever round, or he hasn't won a championship and this, that, and the other. But now you're starting to really see CP3's impact on organizations, and he's able to really just take anybody and turn them into a winning team. I don't think that's really being looked at and observed in the way that it should be. So I think people are underrating that aspect of what he's doing in this part of his career.
I don't think so, though, Ken, because I think he got a lot of props for where OKC was. I think the OKC situation really opened their eyes to his value. And what he's doing now is just a continuation as to where they already viewed him at. So
why nobody talking about it?
I think they were talking about it. That's all I hear is CP3.
I don't think he's underrated. More about
the Suns than singling out CP3. And I even think Devin Booker is getting more headlines right now than CP3 is as well. But I think kind of sort of when you talk about the Suns organization, you're kind of sort of talking about CP3, because he is the difference as to why they are number last time I looked, they were number 4 in the West.
Yeah, he's the S factor.
He's the reason why.
Yeah, they weren't doing this last year.
Yeah, that's
I agree, but he ain't underrated. He's got his props, though.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he ain't underrated, bro. He's a fucking superstar. You see him at every commercial.
And Ken, I know you was like, yeah, because we know. But I believe all five of us had, when we did our top five PGs, everybody has CP3 in their list. Like, nah, CP3 ain't underrated.
I
would say maybe he's underappreciated. Like, people don't appreciate him
as much.
But I won't say he's underrated. Like, people know, his peers, everyone knows CP3 is God tier point guard. Like,
maybe underappreciated is better.
Yeah.
Maybe underappreciated. Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm feeling, B. Yeah. I feel like you're doing my dude wrong.
You feel like he's underappreciated, but he's definitely not underrated at all.
Right. Give me Bradley Beal.
Shelton, who's your last guy?
My last guy is a tie between Tobias Harris and Gordon Hayward this year. They both, I think, they're solid contributors this year, and I don't think that they're getting the just due that they deserve for their team success. You overlook them, and we talk about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, which we should talk about Joel Embiid, but Tobias Harris is the second leading scorer on that team, and he's doing what he's supposed to do every night. He's going to get you 20 no matter what. He's going to get you 20 points. He'll get you 7 rebounds every single night. It's not a night that he takes off. So that deserves more recognition than not. Same thing with Gordon Hayward. All the difference
in him. I'm going to have two.
I'm sorry, man. It was It was a tie. I'm sorry.
That's cheating.
Well, if I had to pick one, I'm going to pick Tobias.
Man. You better pick Black.
BZ, who's your last guy?
Like I say, all mine is guards, man. So my last one is Fred VanVleet.
I was going to put him on my list.
Another underrated guy. I think even back, going back to when the Raptors won the championship, he came up big for them in a lot of buckets. And this year, man, VanVleet been locking fools up. He even locked my guy, the guy I got in here in my list, and your boy Shelton Malcolm Brogdon locked his ass up when I saw him play. And I mean, he shot horrible and everything. I was like, VanVleet definitely, his ability to guard bigger guards, I think people don't really notice that either. Like, people don't give him props for that. The fact that he's so short and his ability to guard bigger guards. And like I said, he's another one that's not afraid to take big shots. Like, he just definitely take big shots, especially during that Raptors career playoff run when they won championship, and just even during his regular season, man, VanVleet. So I think he's still flying. Even though he got the contract, I think he got a big contract this past offseason, but I still think no one mentions him, or he's kind of flying around. He's a solid point guard, man. Plays on both sides of the ball very well.
Guys like VanVleet are the reason why you should never give up on your dreams, especially if you're an NBA potential player, because, you know, when you're a second round pick or even undrafted, you get to the bag a lot quicker than being that first pick overall. So never give up on your dreams, especially if you could taste them and you could see them and they're tangible. Don't give up. Mm-hmm. My last person is a teammate of somebody on your list, Shelton. Domantas Sabonis. Sabonis. I really like him. I think that Indiana team, they got to make some moves because Miles Turner isn't what I thought he should have been. And I think it doesn't really hurt Domantas, but I also don't think it allows him to potentially evolve to a superstar. I don't think he's that. I'm not saying he's that. I'm not projecting that he's that. But super solid. And I think that Domantas is one of the few bigs that it don't matter what guard you play him with, it doesn't matter what system you play him with, he's going to be 15 and 12.
Like, that's a good pick.
He's just going to be 50. He's going to be high basketball IQ, gets it from his dad. Underrated passer.
Mm-hmm.
Very underrated. But yeah, man, I don't think he gets enough just due.
That's good. That's a good one. That's a good one. Is that the only white guy that's made this? Everybody
it is.
Yeah. Hey, look, we're all about diversity and inclusion around here.
Yep, all we need is one.
But we do like how they treated us.
Call it the Rooney rule. This is the injury rule over here.
Right, right.
Got to put one at least.
Oh, man. Hey, we got some super chats, man. Let me
go ahead.
Okay.
And y'all keep them coming, man. And we're not going to save them to the end next time because some people put in multiple ones. We them boys, we appreciate you. Says, does Lloyd Pierce have any excuses?
No, absolutely not.
No, he don't.
I think there's a personality conflict in that organization. And I think the coach is the person that can fix that. And what John Collins expressed hasn't been fixed yet.
Yep.
And they've been going downhill ever since he said that.
They need a Ty Lue job.
Yep.
They need a person to come in, not necessarily be boisterous, but hold people accountable and really set the two young stars or the multiple young stars on this roster in the right direction. I think that just by looking at them play on the court, Trae Young has too much freedom. I think John Collins doesn't get the ball in enough situations that can take advantage of his athleticism and IQ and ball handling and decision-making. I just don't think that the offense is really highlighting the abilities of the guys that they have. Because when you look at that roster, there's no other team in the league that has this many young potential stars. So that's a problem.
Yeah. And it's like he doesn't have a plan is what it looks like. It's like, what is the plan in this game?
I think the plan is too simplistic. I think that's what the issue is. The pick and roll. And that's it. And Maddie, there's too many other seasonings on this damn table and ingredients for you not to, you know, hey, does this go with that? Right. Does that go with this? Like, it's too simplistic for what they got.
What's the next that's one?
True. Aldrin J said De'Aaron Fox at the time we were picking, and BZ got you with that De'Aaron Fox pick. So yeah, he was up there. Tigolo King, what's up, Tigolo? Sabonis or Randall? Who's more underrated?
Randall.
Since they both were picked.
Randall.
I would say, Randall. We talking about this year. Yes, definitely Randall.
Yeah, this year it is, Julius. He's more underrated because he's doing a lot more. Like what Julius is doing this year, DeMontis has never done in his career.
He reminds me, Julius Randall is playing like I thought Draymond, you know, when he used to be doing it all from the assists to rebounds. Even the points that Draymond didn't get, he was like a souped up Draymond is what he is.
I think Randall is having a good year, but I think I'm going to lean towards Sabonis because he's just been way more consistent. But Randall is having a better year numbers-wise and impact-wise, I think, what he's done.
Yeah, I mean, Randall's definitely aiming for that most improved player award this year. So I would probably say Randall, just the fact that he's just – he balling. He's balling this year, man. He's really balling. But yeah, I'm kind of with Ken as well too, because Sabonis definitely been more consistent through time. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that Indiana's been, you know, on that winning side. Now, if Julius Randle would have been taking what he's been doing and translating that into wins and elevating the team, then we have a different discussion. But yeah.
I think Randall has shown flashes. He's shown flashes in L.A.
In L.A., yeah.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of his work.
He's shown flashes in New Orleans, too.
Yeah.
The thing about it, though, is for me, and the reason why I would say Randall is because he leads the team in multiple categories. Sabonis, Malcolm Brogdon leads Indiana in multiple categories. So Sabonis is not up as high as the person. He has a person above him on that team. Julius Randall has no peers on the Knicks. It's him.
The players aren't as good as him. I think Sabonis has probably a little bit more talent. Yeah.
There's more talent.
And the Knicks have younger talent on that team that's not fully developed yet.
And that's true, but he's carrying them. So in that case, to me, he's more underrated for that reason. He's having to do more.
What's the next one?
The next one is from Kayla McCord. Appreciate you, Kayla. CP3 carries his team. He carries his teams every time he's on them, which we mentioned that too.
From day one.
That is definitely true. He's always carried his team. So CP3 will go down in history as that guy for that reason.
I think he's rewriting his legacy. I think he was on the fence. I think
rewriting
or saving his legacy.
Saving?
I agree. 100%.
He played Captain Saving franchise.
100%. And what I mean by that is prior to what he's done in Oakies, these are his titles. These are his back-to-back rings. This is exactly what they are. Because he's showing, like, when you have the, what was it, in LA, what they call them?
Cliff Hall.
Lob City. And you have all that talent. And then, you know, we know what happened there. Like, people looked at CP3 as the failure. And were like, but now, it may be looking at Doc, it may be looking at Blake, but CP was known as the guy who can get to the finals. Right. That was his thing. No rings, all that talent, no rings. Now, I think what he's doing with the last two teams, I think people are going to look at him more as a winner now.
So this is the reason why I disagree with what you're saying, is only because anywhere that CP has been, from the moment that he stepped foot on the NBA for the New Orleans Hornets, he was a winner, and every franchise has won because of him. If you take CP off that Clipper team, they still be the same old Clippers. Same old Clippers. They were a winning franchise when he was there. Mm-hmm. When he left, they became back to the bottom of the barrel, so they just pulled off this Kawhi Leonard and Paul George move.
No, they went to the finals.
They went to the playoffs without...
The playoffs, CP. I mean. I'm sorry.
Okay. They had a championship coach. Yeah, they had a championship coach. Okay, but... Even though that they barely made it to the playoffs by the skin of their teeth. And then
strip them all the way down.
Strip them
all.
Like they wasn't right. They like a hot seat? They wasn't the AC, was they?
They was the AC.
But you had to strip them all down just to whoop them with the switch.
He's just trying to make his point. Right. They wasn't shit without CP.
Look, at the end of the day, when you said rewrite, I just took offense to that because I think that you could have questioned a couple of stops and a couple of things that happened, but anybody that is a real fan about, and I'm not saying that you're not a real fan. I'm not saying that.
He said he was offended about what you said.
Everybody out here, the general you. You watch basketball, you understand that CP is the ultimate leader, not named LeBron James.
Exactly. And yeah. I do, and I know that, and I'm fully aware of that, as we all are on this team. And I know. Nick, stop laughing. When I say what I'm saying, I'm talking about everybody else that don't see that. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to finish your point, but I was going to say, like, it goes to what I said earlier. What people can't do, they teach. He can't win a championship, so he teaches.
This is what I'm talking about.
He teaches all motherfuckers.
He is the one.
He teaches motherfuckers how to win, like you said.
He was the one saying that shit, and now he sees a different CP3 and was like, oh, damn, this dude really is the truth. He just won't win a title.
What's the next one, Shel?
Oh, think about it. Line. Think about it. Wait a minute. Hold on. Remember, he was the one. Remember when Harden got, where CP3 went down?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, oh, well, Harden could at least get one game. And Harden wasn't able to get one game. They were like, right. If CP3 wouldn't have got hurt, they would have won. He was the difference maker on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So if he never went to OKC, what do you think his legacy would have been?
What Nick was saying. I think a lot of people would have been he would have been one of those guys where you bring up his name and the first thing you hear is, yeah, but he never won a title. And they would have brought up the Clippers. And that's it. It would have stopped there. You can convince people that he was a far better player than what they saw because they look at the results. Now, when you place him on a team like OKC and the Suns, nobody expects them to win, but they know what they were before he got there. So they can see the impact that he's had on the team, but they're not going to hold winning a ring, that standard, over his head the way they did in the past. Expectation.
Correct. That was the last one so far. Y'all keep the super chats coming.
Okay. Cool.
Y'all keep the super chats coming and hit the like button.
Yeah. Special shout out, B. I don't know if you wanted to elaborate on this because I'm not as caught up as you because you've been talking to the chat. Serena Williams made it to the semifinals.
Yeah, against Naomi. Man, they playing tomorrow. They playing tomorrow, man. The Aussie semifinals.
Who you got, B?
I got Serena, man. I got Serena. Serena hasn't been having a lot of force errors. But we've seen her Serena play like this before. She played flawless throughout the tournament, and in the finals, she getting errors, unforced, like everything. So I hope she doesn't, you know, switch up when she playing against Naomi, because Naomi, they both like 2-2. They last four times they played each other, they're 2-2. So I'm all in tomorrow night, man. Like y'all know, when I watch tennis, I only watch the majors, the Aussie Opens, Wimbledon. The French Open and the U.S. Open, like them the ones I'm locking loaded in and watching, man. So I'm excited to see. Hopefully Serena can get her 24th Grand Slam, dude. This woman became professional in 1995, dude. Like, and here it is, 2021, and she's still killing it. If that ain't the GOAT, I don't know what is. I mean, let's be real.
Speak on it. Who you got, Shelton?
This is a tough one, but I'm thinking Serena too. But this is gonna be tough. I can't wait to see it. I always like to
give himself that room for error. Say, look, I told you it was gonna be tough if she lost. And if she wins, he said, look, I told you I won't see it.
Hey, that's a salesman in Shelton right there, boy.
I didn't tell you that. He can't commit to a hat.
Oh man.
Naomi's gonna whoop that ass.
Something tell me that's something that I feel like this is a changing the guard.
You think so, Ken?
Something tell me this is a changing of the guard.
Man. And you know what? I'm cool with that. Like I said in the chat, I fucks with Naomi, man. Like, I think I think Naomi, man, she got game, man. I like the fact
she
that
does,
she embraced, yeah, and she embraced her black side. She embraced her blackness, dude. I love
it. Once she did that, she took off.
She took off. And
she with a rapper?
she
embraced the black side quick.
She switched over, man.
Yeah, man. So, look, man, I'm fucking if this is the pass to the guard, you know, I mean, Serena still, Naomi got a long way to go. She got a long
way
to go.
But she ain't going to catch her.
That's what I'm saying. But this could be the passing. I mean, I can see this being. I mean, because let's be real, Serena is at the. She's at the end of her career. I mean, I don't see Serena playing 4 or 5 more years. You know what I'm saying? I can definitely see her, you know, retiring pretty soon. You know what I'm saying? Especially if she wins, like, if she wins this one and maybe win like another one. If she wins this one and wins Wimbledon, I could definitely see her hanging it up after this year. Because then that'll put her past Margaret Court.
I hear what you're saying too, B, but at the same time, I'm miss seeing her play. Boy, she looks so damn good in that book. Hey, she is a beast on and off the court.
Naomi ain't pulling around as much as Serena is, so she can get her on that court a lot.
She on that peanut oil diet. Right.
You talk about it. You talk about a 14-year age difference because it was Naomi 23 and Serena's 39. So.
Catching at the right time.
Yeah.
But we've seen what happened the last time that happened. The youngster against the veteran.
Come on, it's Black History Month. It's Black History Month, so you can't bring up that.
Good time, Nick. Such a good time.
He got that MAGA hat on. It's like he got the bill up high, so he can't tell.
He was celebrating greatness and everything. Oh, just because, because the M, the G, and the A miss it, don't mean shit.
Hey, we got another super chat.
You just didn't have enough room.
It's custom made.
I'm pulling for Serena, but
I think we got another one. We got another one, Shelton?
Yeah, from Arterio Stover.
What up, Arterio?
I know this is an NFL question, but which team impressed y'all the most this past season? And which team disappointed you the most? Give me 1 second to answer that. I think
every team in the playoffs that didn't step up to beat Brady.
The team that disappointed me the most was the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. They started off really good. Russell was on an MVP trajectory, and then they crashed and burned hard to the point where now Russell wasn't talking about trading me. The team that I appreciated or I guess surprised me were the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen took a major step up. That team looks like it's going to be formidable. And it looks like in that conversation of Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, you know, the next young quarterbacks that are going to be challenging for the throne, you can start throwing Josh Allen's name in that as well.
For me, the most disappointed team was the Philadelphia Eagles, especially the way they ended their season, which was pretty bad, especially we could see possibly a potential star in the making with Jalen Hurts. And they also fucked up the Giants' chances. A team that I was impressed with the most is the Browns. I think that the way they turn, the fact that they won a playoff game before the Bengals fucking pisses me off. But at the same time, to see where they came from Hugh Jackson, which was what, less than 5 years ago, to almost being into the AFC title game, that's a huge improvement.
The team that disappointed me the most was San Francisco.
Yeah, injuries.
That was understood.
He said it don't matter.
I mean, you had injuries, true indeed, but still, I just expect that team was loaded. I expected them to.
Everybody who was loaded got hurt.
the load was dropped off.
Yeah. The QB got hurt. All the defensive players got hurt.
But 6-10 was not where I expected them to be. It just wasn't where I expected that team to be. The team that impressed me the most, I agree with you on that, was Cleveland. They came out of nowhere and they had a great season. Honorable mention goes to the Ravens for the most disappointing too.
I'm going with the black man. I'm going with Tomlin.
disappointing or
what's the other part? Disappointing.
Most,
no.
Surprise or
the most disappointing team was the Bucks.
Hey, look, follow me on Twitch. I'm about to go whip up on some people and mad at. I'm out.
He said it was the Bucks. You know, King gonna be coming in hot with that, man. You know he gonna come in hot with that. Y'all know better. Right, well. I don't know why y'all surprised.
All right, man. Well, that's going to do it for us because I got to go match up the play too. So follow me, KB Inch, on Twitch as well. And there will not be...
Real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
I just got to bring this up. Hey, Nick, man. Nick, I saw you get your ass whooped on YouTube, man.
Bruh.
Oh.
You talking about the foreign game?
He ain't talking about the foreign game. Nah.
No. I'm talking about Ken, the one you uploaded.
Oh, you talking about...
Yeah, I'm talking about that one.
B, we supposed to be celebrating each other. we supposed to be our brothers in arms.
Hey, Nick,
are you your brother's keeper, B?
Hey, Nick, I'm celebrating another black man. I'm celebrating another black man, man.
I hate you too, B. I hate you too.
No, that's all I wanted to say. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, man. Hey, before y'all go leave the chat, please do us a favor. And like and please share the show with somebody if you can. We're trying to grow these numbers and we can only do it with your help. So please share it with somebody next week and get them in with us. Ken, I wanted to have a show on Thursday if you can, because I think I got a guest.
We're recording Dead End Hip Hop stuff Thursday.
Oh, Dead End Hip Hop Thursday?
Okay. Yeah. Can he do next Tuesday?
I'll try to see.
If not, next Thursday is fine. Yeah, we were just taking this one off.
Okay.
Yep. So, but yeah, we're going to try to, I mean, the cast may fluctuate. We're going to try to keep these two shows going a week. Not everybody is able to commit to two, but, you know, we're going to try to make it do what it do with what we have. And, you know, continue to bring you guys these weekly shows if you guys like them. But we need you guys to show that support by liking and subscribing and sharing. So, that tells us everything we need to know and watching.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm a numbers guy too.
Thank you, Ken's iPad and FIFO number one fan for keeping us entertained in the chat.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that in the chat. I'm like, yo, what's up with this? Like this.
Hey, Ken's iPad was hilarious this whole time.
Yeah, that was funny.
Hey, somebody asked me about DeSean to Carolina. DeSean to Carolina would be the best thing in the world. I don't care who we have to trade to get him. Let's make it happen.
You got to trade the franchise.
Yeah, that's fine. Christian McCaffrey can go. Anybody can go. We don't care. We don't need nobody. Just DeSean.
Cool. All right, well, we'll catch you guys next week, next Tuesday. We out. Peace.
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 Peace. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at Blue Nile. .com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or on the hunt for the perfect ring to wear forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.